Hello and welcome to The Good, The Scaz and The Rugby, brought to you by our very good friends at Allianz. I'm here with Mike Tindall. Elma isn't with us this week, unfortunately. She hasn't ditched us and we haven't ditched her. She will be back.
She's semi-ditched us. It's a bit like you, actually. This is what I'm trying to figure out from this show is I seem to be the semi-constant and then Scaz will go off and do other pieces of work and I'll be stood in the background holding her show. Doing her show for
Someone's
her,
got to hold it together.
And today Elma's doing the same. But at least you're here.
Being...
All we had to do was fracture disc, get your leg,
yeah,
and then we get you here.
So lock me down.
It's a small price to pay.
The irony being that she's actually in the UK.
I know.
So we've done a whole season without her in the UK, and now she is. She's not even here.
But
so
isn't it good to be back together?
It's very good to be back together, back
it's
in person,
virtually.
And Mike, welcome to the farm.
I know. Thank you for having me again. Feels a bit strange that I've had to make the sacrifice of travelling all the way across half the country to come.
You should know
Emily.
How this works, right?
I'm figuring out my place quite quickly. But Yvonne, her mum,
yeah,
lovely cup of coffee.
Crown on it and everything. She thought that's her best joke, that one is.
It's the closest I'm going to get to a crown, but I'm questioning where my
cupcake
is.
She'll probably be in the oven.
We haven't put just to let everyone know, we haven't put it on in the oven quite yet. She's well.
She'll be baking.
Will she?
She'll probably be baking. Yeah, just that was part of my childhood, was just waking up to smells of deliciousness.
Come on then, take me into it. So this has been your living room, dining room for all your life. Right.
Yeah, all my life up till I was 18, I then flew the nest and went to university. But yeah, grew up here. This living room was not here when I first born. So this is an extension, slightly nicer. We grew up in the other sitting room where the carpet was red and the settings
where you were allowed
clean
to make a mess.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It sort of seems to be the way on the farm. You need a mess room,
yeah,
where
exactly.
you come off and you're muddy, you can just... Go into that room.
Dad had come in his boots and it didn't matter where you dropped the mud. So, yeah.
And how come not farming? How come rugby? I mean, I'm asking a question I probably know the answer to because we're in Leicester.
Yeah.
So rugby is always... I don't think there's a farmer in Leicester who's not rugby mad.
So true.
But were you put to work on the farm?
So it depends who you ask. If you ask my dad and my brother, and I did nothing. But right. If you ask me, I'd like to say that I chipped in... I could put, I don't know, 5 or 6 farm jobs on my CV competently. But yeah, I mean, I loved growing up here. I loved coming back here, space, fresh air, all of that. But the farming itself is really tough. It's not quite something that I picked up on. And my dad and brother are just so much better at it than me.
Would you put any of your strength down to farming, though? I'm living on a farm. Because all farmers have what we call it farmer strength. Do you put sort of some of your strength down to being on the farm? Farmer strength is something, loads of rugby players who have grown up on farms just have this freakish strength.
I mean, I don't think anybody in my life would ever call me freakishly strong, but I do, I'd like to think I've got a bit of farm strength in me. I don't have any bench press strength, any pull-up strength, and none of the conventional gym movements.
Yeah.
So... Hopefully the farm bit is the bit that works in rugby.
Shifting hailbales?
Chucking them over the shoulder, rolling them down the field. Yeah, nice. Back in the old days where you didn't have as much machinery.
See, I grew up in a place called Badsworth early on, and we were close to a farm, and I know that people will laugh at this, I put my speed down to the farmer because we used to have to run away a lot as we were messing around on these hay bales, and they get so angry if you're in their barns and messing around.
Yeah, don't you tell my dad that.
he'll run me off.
Yeah, exactly. Get off my land and all that.
Yeah. But, you know, I didn't sort of realise, you know, we're on a farm now as well, and I realise how much it does actually piss them off if people are on their land.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I probably have more appreciation
now. My dad always uses the analogy of, like, well, I wouldn't come strolling through your back garden.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's a little bit different.
Slightly different. It's probably a public footpath quite close by, which annoyingly walk through all the old farms.
Exactly.
So you've got a brother, and he's in the farming as well. It's because it's three generations.
Third generation, yeah. So Joe is still very involved. He's part of the business. He works all hours in the day. I will go to bed, wake up in the morning, and I have a video from him of the previous night and one of him the previous morning. And I've been asleep the entire time. So it does make me feel...
Yeah, harvest time, I mean...
Yeah, harvest time, drilling time.
4 a.m. Oh, no rain. I'll get out there and harvest. Yeah. I actually have a picture of Joe. This is from our luck. Isn't it great when you go walk around people's houses and start stealing stuff? How old are you here?
I don't know. Probably about, 15, 16.
Ready to hit the town.
I look older than you.
It's like a promi type thing.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. I think we were actually at a wedding. I think it was a cousin's wedding. Yes. Joe will like that because he looks a bit slimmer in that photo than he is now.
There's another picture of Joe over there, but we'll leave it at this one. Ripped to shreds, Mr. Joe. And then obviously your dad's fully in it all day long.
Yeah.
Loves it.
I mean, we met him. It's his life. And he always says it's not a job to him. It's his hobby that he's able to do as a career and as a something that, you know, it doesn't seem a task to him to get out of bed and go and do all that work because he does genuinely love it.
Yeah, that was it. The sun was out. There hasn't been much sun whilst we've been up here, by the way, but the sun was out as he came. He goes, look at it as an office. I love it. And then he immediately goes, it's going to rain at 4 minutes past two. And it's
starts chunting.
And literally every farmer knows the exact weather. Never watch a weatherman. Ask the local farmer because they know. They know.
Exactly.
So obviously farming didn't catch your full passion, even though you thought you were getting more involved than it appears that you actually were. So then how did the rugby come around?
So I started playing because my brother started playing. So Dad took him down to the local club, West Forest East. And I just went along to watch Joe, really. And then I stood on the sideline and one of the coaches was like, oh, do you want to come and have a run around? So I went and had a run around as this five-year-old. You know, the classic offside, passing it forward, no idea. I just loved it, apparently. I was like, can I go back? Came home, told Mum, I think she was thrilled that is what I'd gone off and done and decided that I really enjoyed it. But then, obviously, growing up in Leicester, there's a massive Tigers affiliation around here. Like you say, farming background, quite a lot, big kind of rugby pool there as well.
Yeah.
We used to play out on the garden, 2v1, me and Jovi, my dad. Dad used to play, actually, so probably that's the original background of it all. But, I used to love it. Actually, chipped one of his teeth playing in the garden, which he still never lets me forget.
What, you sent one through? That's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
Get off that.
There's no mercy back in those days.
I love it. I was it's very similar. Yeah. I was with my dad. I remember playing in the back garden. We were doing tackling and then I tackled him and I held him down. I was about 14. It was at the age where he realised I was starting to get I was a lot bigger than he probably was and stronger. And then he always used to like to remind me he was still strong. And that was about the last time he could do it. He did it well, actually.
He found a new game.
And then he was like, let's play something else. Table tennis? So where did you stay at that club? All the way up until uni, or how did it work?
So I stayed there until I was 17, because then when I was 17, I was able to go over to Lichfield, basically waited until I turned 18 in that season, and then I was able to play with the women, who were part of the Premiership at the time. So I went over there, would train with them, obviously non-contact, because I wasn't allowed to until I turned 18. And then I was at Lichfield for best part of 10 years.
Right. So even when you were at Leeds Uni, would you travel back most weekends or?
So it was mad when I was at uni. You'd play university rugby as well because we were part of the top league at uni.
Yeah.
Go to Twickenham at the end of the year playing the final, the one. I'd travel down Tuesday, Thursdays to Lichfield, play uni rugby on a Wednesday, do the same on a Thursday. Maybe go out for a few on a Wednesday night. It was university, after all.
Wednesday nights at uni.
Yeah, exactly. And then play on a Sunday. So it was quite a mad schedule. I don't think it would happen now. It was kind of in the days where things weren't monitored. There's no GPS. It wasn't monitored as well.
Leicester's coach, Borthers, when he came down to Bath, he was playing second team. Sometimes he'd play a second team, then he'd play for the uni, and then he might be on the bench for the first team on the weekend. Surprisingly enough, he got glandular fever because he literally had no immune system. So fortunately those days are gone.
Yeah, thankfully.
But fair play. That's good commitment, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, it was busy.
There must have been a team up north that you could have probably joined.
Well, there wasn't really a prem team, there was Darlington, which is obviously
as far up as it would be coming back down.
Yeah. So that was basically the option. You went down a league and joined a lesser club, but at that point that wasn't really an option because I was already capped at that point. So, it was do that.
Then how did that? So then, where did it? Where did the journey change after uni? Obviously, it just joined, was that when you joined Loughborough or what? When you?
No, so I was still.
So how did it all go? It stayed there until.
Yeah, so that I was 21 when you leave uni, aren't you?
Yeah.
Then got a job in Birmingham, so moved to Birmingham for a couple of years. So still at Lichfield.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, after that World Cup campaign, we got our professional contracts. So at that point, I then moved to like Surrey, where the Sevens programme was based.
Yeah.
Because then it was all about prepping for Rio, the 2016 Olympics. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was still joined with the Lichfield, and at that time, we still trained with our clubs, drove back up, drove down, played Sevens, did the whole shuffling about thing again. But yeah, thankfully now things have calmed down a little bit and you just, you do one
there's
or you do the other.
Yeah,
if you've ran over too many K, you get pulled fish hooked out of a session.
Yeah.
But yeah, back in those days, you do basically do whatever you want.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? The women's journey is like the journey that was 25 years ago for us. It's good to know.
You've
got to earn your stripes, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to earn your stripes. At least you don't have to do first versus seconds on a Thursday night.
No, God.
That was never fun. But yeah, luckily that stuff has gone too. Clarkson's Farm, have you watched that?
I have watched it. Brilliant.
Do you see a lot of connections with what you grew up watching your dad, your brother do? Or?
I see a lot of connections if I was to do it. I think obviously Joe and Dad are very well versed, but yeah, I really do like that programme. I think it's been really good at kind of just showcasing farming. Like, there's not many programmes out there, mainstream programmes, whereby people actually learn and appreciate a little bit about what people do and where things come from and all that sort of stuff. So it's very funny and I've really enjoyed it. But I do, it's even my brother, who is the first person to jump on anything that he thinks is a little bit something. He was raving about it. He recommended it to me, which again never happens. So at that point I knew it was probably a good program. But yeah, just things like him drilling the tram lines in the wrong place and just stuff like that, which if you're not into farming you have no idea about.
Well, I did learn about that in terms of how it all works. Have you had a conversation around the first Lamborghini tractor or
Did say this to Dad and he was like, what? I don't think he even knew that that was a thing until he saw it on Clarkson's
farm. I love the fact that it can now wheelie, can't it?
Yeah.
You're obviously going to wheelie. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I don't think they've been practising that. But
it wasn't supposed to quite go that way, but he's just buys the big. I think his general thing is buy the biggest and it must be the best. And it's
he's quite well financed, isn't he? Which probably is the only inaccuracy in farming.
Exactly. He needs to do it the other way. He needs to. That's what Series 2 should be. They give him an actual farmer's budget and then see how well
what
you
he made last year, he has to live on this year.
That would definitely be more interesting. But I think he's done. I think the general feedback I've heard from farmers that it's been quite good for farmers.
Yeah.
Because it highlights quite a lot of the issues and also how hard it is to get everything in, and it's all weather dependent and you have to work through the nights. So
yeah, definitely. And as I say, like unless you know somebody in farming or you've done it yourself or you have no appreciation of how seasonal it is, how much you rely on the weather. You can't just do things irrelevant. You have to wait for Mother Nature to either run her course or, give you a good hand or whatever. But, it did make me laugh. It was funny.
So we've actually got you here for the first time. And as I said, it's only taken a fractured dislocation of your leg to be able to get in the same room as you. I mean, it's busy times for you. I feel very honoured. Thank you.
Good.
How is the leg? Did you know straight away it was bad?
First of all, I did it 3 minutes into our first game of the season. And for one of the first seasons ever, I'd actually done a proper pre-season. Because so often you go away on international tours in the summer or whatever. And this year we didn't have one. So I'd done a full slog of a pre-season and then 3 minutes into our first game. So that was slightly irritating. But I was, again, foolishly defending a pick and go on our try line.
What are you doing?
I know. Won't happen again, I'll tell you that for free. Just got myself caught in there. And then as someone picked it, just got my leg caught underneath me, got squashed, and it wasn't in a good angle. So something had to give, basically. But yeah, I knew straight away, Taish, who was one of our forwards inside me, she went, "You're right, Skaz." I was like, "I just broken my foot, mate." And she went, trotted off because they hadn't actually scored, so she had to keep going. My foot was facing a different angle, so I knew straight away that, yeah, it wasn't good.
Not
do you want to have a look?
Yes. Go on then. Do I want to have a look? Oh, yeah. See, no, I do want to have a look. What is it with rugby players? I love it's just below another scar.
Yeah, it is actually.
If anyone wants to see it, actually, I think we'd have to put a graphic warning yeah. out with it. Basically, a little compound fracture, a bit of bone. Yeah, that's well done. What was the scar above?
That's just a stud mark.
Oh,
it wasn't
it?
Actually, yeah, it looks like surgery, but it's not. It's just right. a bad stud mark, yeah.
Well, there's another one underneath.
Yeah, exactly. And a few more, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but made sure someone got a picture of it.
Yeah, I just. It is one of these things that rugby players do, is it's like, wait, yeah, massive gash, wait, photo first. Yeah, I don't understand why we do it, but we...
It's
we
for sort the record books,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, we sort of, before we get medical care, we'll take a photo.
That was the first thing, in the medical room, obviously, because you literally just come off the pitch, you don't have your phone on you. I was like, Doc, have you got your phone on you? And he was like, oh, no. I was like, excuse me, St John's Ambulance, have you got your phone on you?
Picture, please. Yeah. But, yeah, that's well done.
Yeah, so did a good job, but recovering now, out of my cast, in an air cast boot, slowly weight bearing through crutches and stuff. So yeah, getting there. It will be a decent sized journey, but you just got to
make sure it's properly about
yeah,
before you.
Exactly.
I mean, everyone will always put pressure on getting yeah. back, but you just take that time.
No, definitely.
What are you gonna do with your downtime? Obviously, you're still a little bit inhibited by you have yeah. to wear the boot, but any plans? Because I always think the only time as a rugby player you get a break is when you're injured.
Yeah, so true.
I mean, it's a bit annoying that you've had a full pre-season, but you actually get to work on anything else that you yeah. has been niggling at you, but also you get to enjoy a few things.
Yeah.
You'll probably have to wait till the boot comes off a bit, but...
Yeah, so got opportunities to do some stuff around some of the autumn internationals,
nice.
Which is cool, which you'll give me stick for.
Yeah, which
some BT stuff.
Means we won't be seeing you in person for any podcast anytime soon.
Some of the BBC stuff for the girls' game, which will be really cool.
Oh, yeah, because they start 31st.
Yeah, end of October. So four big tests for them, so doing some stuff like that. But again, just being able to do stuff that, obviously, if I was fit right now, I'd be in camp, and I'd be in camp for about a month and a half, so it'd be a bit of a write-off. So, yeah.
How do you think the squad's looking?
Yeah, good, I think. Until you play, you don't know, do you? I think that's always the first hit out of any new season is always the bit of a, oh, see how we go. Picked up a few injuries, which is a shame, but inevitably where someone's journey ends, as it were, someone else gets an opportunity. So
we're playing the Black Ferns twice.
Yep.
Yeah. Stanley Park and Northampton. Live yep. on BBC Two.
Live
so
on BBC
Two. If you want
two.
To see Emily doing her thing, not on her podcast. And then we've got Canada...
And America.
And America.
Yeah. One at Worcester.
Obviously, being the weird way that the world's worked and the World Cup being sort of moved down the river a little bit, now these two tests, how important are these two tests looking forward going into that World Cup?
Yeah, I think they're really important, but I also don't think either team will place a huge amount of emphasis on the results of them. And it's easy to say that, isn't it? Because if they lose, they're never going to. But... I think given the context of obviously the last couple of years, I don't think the Black Ferns have played in the last couple of years because they've either not been able to leave the country or no anyone's been able to go in. So they haven't played in a long time, but that will not mean that, you know, you won't tell when you actually see them play because that's the way people in New Zealand are, isn't it, with rugby?
Yeah.
It's just bang straight back. But yeah, they're big. I think any England v New Zealand game is always massive. Inside a World Cup and especially outside a World Cup because it kind of sets the tone a little bit. We played them before 2017. We went to New Zealand, had some really good results against them, and then obviously in the World Cup final they then beat us. So it's always a really competitive, fierce rivalry. It'd be really nice to play them at home. The girls will be properly up for it. And yeah, it will, whatever the outcome, it will certainly give both sides a big driving force heading into the next 12 months.
Do you think Simon Milton's going to use those games against the Canada and USA to blood any of the young talent coming up in the Allianz Premier 15s? Has there been anyone that you think we might not expect to be who might get used that outside of the usual crew?
I think, yeah, there's definitely been players that have obviously been called into the wider squad that are perhaps new names, so Emma Singh, Maud Muir, people like that who... I don't think either of them are capped, but have been involved in the squad who are younger, incredibly capable. Maud especially has been going unbelievably well for Wasps in the Allianz Premier 15. So for people like her to have an opportunity, and I think the joy of four games does give you that opportunity, doesn't it? It means that you can potentially go really strong for a few and then have one or two opportunities to rotate and give people that chance. And ultimately, if, in my opinion, if you see them as part of your World Cup bigger squad, then they've got to play. They've got to play at some point between now and then. And so, yeah.
Is Simon quite good at that? Is he always looking forward rather than, I mean, you said that they're not going to read too much into these games, where my head immediately goes, well, surely if you beat them now, it puts a massive doubt in their head going into the World Cup. But is he always thinking about what's coming next in terms of where the progression of the team goes?
Yeah, I think you have to, don't you, as a coach? I think, obviously, there was a squad that was building for what should have been the World Cup kind of now. And obviously that's had to change and you've been afforded another year, and that year gives some players another year of maturity if they're young. It gives some players the opportunity to get back fit, who perhaps wouldn't have made the World Cup otherwise. So he's always looking at, you know, the next bit, and certainly not closing doors off to people just because, you know, it should have been now and it's now not. So,
well, talking about the World Cup coming up, you're actually quite lucky that it has been postponed now, because it would have been quite devastating if you'd have done it in the first 2 minutes and there was a World Cup at the end of this year. So
somebody actually reminded me of that the other day, and I hadn't, because obviously it's been moved for such a long time now and we've known for ages, I didn't really think about it, and someone was like, well, you're pretty lucky, you know, and I was like, oh God, yeah. So I hadn't thought about it, but yeah.
So there's going to be a road trip, the good that Scouts rugby. You clearly won't be there. You'll be in the squad, as always. So, little road trip for me.
Yeah.
Let's look at who would you like to see on season two, and who would you sort of like to take on that road trip?
Oh, on the road trip.
Who you dream for question. To have on season two in the
season
podcast?
Season two, I think, closer to home, I'd love to obviously get Mo back on, very good friend of mine. And in the same vein, Katie Daly-McLean. Yeah. We've been good friends and kind of pals for a long time. So I heard your podcast with you and Will Greenwood the other day, and it kind of reminded me of me and Katie playing a lot of the stuff that we've done together over the years, and just those relationships that you build up. So I'd love to get her on. People like, obviously from New Zealand, there's loads of good people down there, but someone like a Ruby Tui, just what she brings and off field as much as on field, the type of character she is, people like that. Kendra Cox Edge as well, have a decent relationship with her. See how the autumn goes as to whether we get her on or not. But
So I think the future's bright for the good Scouts of rugby. I'm looking forward to our little road trip down to Kiwi, isn't it?
Yeah, so, New Zealand. Yeah, it'd be very cool.
Revisit some very fond places of memories in my heart. I can take you out. Actually, I know a few places. Actually, you probably don't. The World Cup gets you into trouble.
It's not how it used to be in the old days anymore.
No,
you know.
I know. I'll take you back to an old school tour. And then you'll be in trouble, so let's not do that either. It's funny you brought up Mo as someone who you'd like to reconnect with. Obviously, when you were off earning BT dollars at the Allianz Premier 15s final, I got to spend the day with Mo, and she was on me like a rash, because she's obviously at Hartbury, and she was like, you've got to come down and coach. I said, look, I think that'll be quite good fun. Next thing you know, she's already rung her coach. Rum Django, who James Forrester, who also who coaches there, and then said, yep, he's in. So then James Forrester is immediately texting me, going, it's great that you want to come down. And I was like, what? I only said the things 30
like
seconds
your
ago. But we did. I went down with Sinbad and we did some stuff with the backs, which was good. I think we will go back. I'm not going to say that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Mo will literally text me.
Don't cut this bit out. Do not cut this bit out.
Mo will literally text me as soon as she hears this and goes, right, training here and here.
Thursday.
I expect to see you there. Actually, Django's just as bad. He was like, can you come to the game on the 4th? Can you come to the... And I was like, yeah, I'll try.
I can see you mic'd up on the sideline.
I know, sitting, singing.
Waterboy.
I've done a few Waterboy gigs in my time. You should be, well, you'll be...
Yeah, in
water
soon.
Carrying when,
soon.
At some point.
Do you enjoy coaching?
There's a very long-winded answer to that.
This is why you won't be coming back.
There is a long way. Yes, I do. I actually prefer doing that. For coaching at like local, and I quite enjoyed what I did with the ladies. I sort of enjoyed it when I did the full thing with Gloucester, and then but I had one great year, one bad year. Mm. I enjoy the actual thing around it, but it comes with a lot of... I don't know, actually. It's a really tough question to answer. I do... But I don't, and it's really hard. I do as not a job, but I don't when it's a job.
Okay, yeah.
If you know
fine.
What I mean? Yeah. That's probably a better way of putting it.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressures and stuff, isn't there? And well, a lot more work. And
well, when I was doing it, the game was so evolving into what it is now, and there were loads of things I didn't like about it. Mm. You know, I thought they were going too far on contesting in the air. Basically everything I was good at, they were trying to take away.
Yeah. So you had nothing to offer.
Yeah, I was getting quite frustrated about it. Well, thank you for having me today. I think it's been great. And thank you for having me up at your house. And I get to meet your mum and dad. That's always lovely. And give me a cup of coffee. I think we've got some phone calls to make. But that's also, you're going to give me a little guided tour?
Yes. Put your wellies on and we'll go and have a look around the farm. Sounds good. We've been the Good, the Scouts and the Rugby. Welcome to season 2.